This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. It's 6 o'clock Standard War Time, Monday, February 22nd, 1943. And this is Jack McKenna reminding you to buy war bonds and help our boys in the service. Lou Martin is standing by with the latest war news in the Pacific, North Africa, and here at home. We have some important news about food rationing. It sounds confusing, but Harriet will help you through all the stamps and books and points. Now, Lou Martin with the Duluth Superior Bus Company 6 o'clock news. Duluth Superior Bus Company urging you to squeeze into the bus to make room for others during this national emergency. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Rationing is going to make some food scarce and changes in what we eat. Shortages are being reported all over the country. What is being called scant ration cuts the amount of canned fruits and vegetables to less than half of what has been available to people. The Office of Price Administration has announced that each person will be allowed 3 cans of fruit or vegetables each month. And this week, no canned fruits or vegetables will be for sale. This is to avoid a last-minute rush, so families have to live on what they have on hand. Each person is limited to 48 points a month. Things like peas and tomatoes take 16 points each. Canned corn or beans are 14 points, and so on. This covers all canned, frozen, and dried fruit and vegetables, including baby food. The list does not cover canned meat or fish, which is expected to be rationed next month. Sign-ups for War Ration Book Number 2 will begin Monday at local elementary schools, but you must have Ration Book Number 1 in order to get Number 2. Harriet will be in to help us make sense of this in a few minutes. Good news for smokers who have been hearing rumors of cigarette rationing. The Office of Price Administration will not ration tobacco. The supply of leaf tobacco is adequate for now, even as the demand for cigarettes reaches an all-time high. Last year, 236 billion cigarettes were smoked in the United States, up from 1941's record total of 200 billion. Cigarette production is at an all-time high to meet the demands of the armed forces and civilians. President Roosevelt has scheduled a 7-minute talk on the radio tonight. The White House won't say what the topic is, but the president will make the address with Vice President Henry Wallace, Speaker Sam Rayburn, and Major General Van de Griff, who commanded the Marines on Guadalcanal. In more news this evening, a tank battle is raging near Kasserine Pass in North Africa. For the first shortwave report on our war news roundup, we go to Wes Gallagher at Allied headquarters somewhere in Tunisia.
This is North Africa calling. Wes Gallagher reporting with the fighting Allied tank battalion. A strong armored German force thrust 12 miles northwestward through the Kasserine Gap early Monday. German General Erwin Rommel's tanks engaged British tank units in a violent battle, while American combat troops turned back lesser threats westward along another North African battle zone. Yank and Brit forces knocked out 14 German Nazi tanks during heavy fighting last night under a bright moon. Even so, one German column of more than 70 tanks struck within 8 miles of Tala, a junction in the Allied line. It is there, on the edge of a vast plateau, British and United States forces engaged in a violent night and day tank battle with Rommel's Africa Corps. The issue is still in doubt. Rommel is gambling desperately in an effort to score a knockout blow against the British First Army before the British Eighth Army could neutralize his Mareth line and push into the central Tunisian theater. This is North Africa calling, the South Pacific calling correspondent Berrigan in Australia.
This is Allied headquarters in Australia calling, correspondent Beryl Berrigan here. Allied bombers blasted Japanese air drones in the Boon Fei area of the Northern Solomons yesterday with 23 tons of bombs. They returned today with another load of bombs, causing destruction and lighting fires visible for 50 miles. At least two Japanese planes were destroyed on the ground, a hangar was demolished, and other buildings damaged. Despite heavy anti-aircraft AKAC fire, all Allied planes returned safely. Other heavy bombers attacked the harbor town of Ambon and shipping of this enemy base in the Netherlands' East Indies. Two of six Jap planes, which tried to intercept the bombers, were shot down by Lightning P-38 fighter planes. Meanwhile, Japanese planes attacked the Buna area of New Guinea for the first time since the fall of that area to American and Australian forces last month. The official communique called the attack nothing more than nuisance raid, causing neither injuries or damage. This is Allied headquarters somewhere in Australia. Your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, reporting.
America's largest submarine, the Argonaut, has been sunk in action in the South Pacific. A companion submarine torpedoed two of the heavily escorted Japanese transport ships the Argonaut was stalking. Submarine Division Commander Leon Huffman at Pearl Harbor says the Argonaut was on the offensive patrol of enemy shipping and intercepted a convoy near Rabaul, New Britain. The convoy was apparently bound for Ley in New Guinea. The Argonaut torpedoed an enemy destroyer and was attacked with depth charges. It surfaced, and circling Jap destroyers pumped shells into it. The Argonaut had a crew of 102 souls on board. No Allied or neutral ships were sunk last week in the Western Atlantic. This represents the first seven-day period since the attacks on Pearl Harbor 14 months ago, and no losses were reported. The German port of Bremen was the target of Royal Air Force bombers last night. The first time the RAF hit Bremen since October. Wilhelmshaven and Hanover have taken the brunt of RAF bombs in the past weeks. Mahatma Gandhi has passed a crisis on the 18th day of his 21-day freedom fast for India from British rule. Gandhi weathered heart palpitations. The official government bulletin from Bombay says the frail Hindu took a little water and lime juice and is recovering for the final 3 days of his fast. There's no hint that the government would change its position. The Lutz Superior Bus Company news time is 6:06. Time for a few words from our sponsor by Jack McKenna.
With all the fighting and destruction going on, it's amazing that this little guy still gets headlines around the world, and I certainly hope that that lime juice isn't fattening.
Gandhi is both the conscience of India, and he's the thread that holds the Indian people together. He does it by denouncing violence. Maybe there's hope for peaceful solutions someday.
I certainly hope so. Here's something else I'm hoping about. Duluth Superior Bus Company has good advice for us. You, yes, you and I and many others who ride the bus can have themselves a little shot at helping the war effort, folks. Proper bus riding is helping the war effort, believe it or not. How so, you say? Well, first, step to the rear to make more room in the bus. Or second, avoid riding the bus during rush hours so people coming home from their war jobs will have room to ride the bus. How about that? The Duluth Superior Bus Company says, help us support the war effort by riding the bus in the proper time and way of riding the bus to help the war effort. Jack McKenna with the Duluth Superior Bus Company. Lou?
The hunting season in Wisconsin last year ended with 109 people shot. 36 of those accidents were fatal. These numbers released today by the State Conservation Department are an improvement from the past few years. The accidents varied from ricochets to not seeing the victim before shooting, and 29 cases were self-inflicted. The Conservation Department reported that one case was averted when a tavern owner stopped a group of hunters as they were about to shoot a black object in a field. It was a woman picking up a sack of potatoes. Another case had a hunter sitting on a log, struck by a stray bullet. When he jumped up, another hunter shot him, thinking the sudden movement was a deer. The largest deer banked this season weighed more than 300 pounds. It was shot by John Herman of Park Falls. Contracts have been awarded to the Barnes & Luth Shipbuilding Company for 8 small cargo vessels. The Maritime Commission will pay Barnes & Luth $1 million a ship. The task of raising $5,400 in Bayfield County next month for the Red Cross is underway. J.P. O'Malley will head the effort for the towns of Russell and Bayfield. H.J. Eilers will cover Cornucopia, Orienta, Port Wing, and Clover. Herman Melstrand has been picked to take care of Benoit, Pilsen, Eileen, Mason, and Ino, while L.A. Minow is responsible to raise money for Ulu, Tripp, Hughes, Barnes, and Iron River. A second lieutenant with ties to Superior has been awarded a medal by the English. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Second Lieutenant Michael Berkowitz of Superior has proud kin in Superior. Sister and brother Ethel and Earl Berkowitz report that their brother was one of 115 of bomber crews awarded the Air Medal in London on Sunday. Although war censorship doesn't allow details, the 8th Army Air Force said that Lieutenant Berkowitz is being honored for exceptionally meritorious service. Lieutenant Berkowitz entered the Army Air Corps in January of last year, 1942, and was assigned overseas duty in October, just 1 month before the big North African invasion in 1942. Lou?
Thanks, Mike, and congratulations, Lieutenant Berkowitz. Remember the good old days of summer band concerts?
Yeah, certainly do, Lou. Then Victrolas and radio came along, and those band concerts just seemed to fade away.
Well, the memory lives on. The curator of the Superior Museum, Mrs. William Duby, uncovered a relic from that time, a cornet with the engraving presented to H.A. George by the Badger Cornet Band of 1884. Mrs. Duby said that old settlers around Superior will recall that Colonel George was one of the first citizens here, arriving on a boat, the Hattie Lloyd, in 1883. He was a charter member of the Badger Band that organized in April of 1884 and played many concerts in parks, for churches, and schools, all for free. They even paid for their uniforms. The old Superior Times newspaper described the uniforms as gray, handsomely tribbed with silver braid and gold epaulets. Drum Major J. Bond's hat was made from a badger skin. The silver cornet is on display at the museum, along with a picture of the band donated by the late John Barden. Mrs. Duby says the cornet still plays a perfect tune.
Wow! Maybe that's better than old Colonel George could do. I wish they'd find the drum major's badger skin hat. Now that's Lou Martin, the best newsman on the block. He can read and read. Hey, friends, let's look at that forecast from the U.S. Weather Bureau for this Monday night, February the 22nd, 1943. Looking pretty nice, folks. We had a high today of 41 degrees. On the heels of Sunday's 55 degrees. Tonight's low should be around 20 degrees with a chance of snow flurries or, well, maybe even a drop of rain. That's right. Rain in February here at the head of the lakes. Can't count on anything. Let's kick things off now with this number from our hit parade. Here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra and Yes Dance on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. just for you, folks. The swinging big band swing sound of Benny Goodman and his orchestra, of course, and Let's Dance on station KUWS. It's hard to believe that it's been 4 years, 1939, since he released that number, Lou.
Say, Jack.
Jack?
Roy Westman of the Superior Evening Telegram just gave me a tip. Some big-time news people will be coming to Superior to cover the Dionne Quintuplets on May the 9th.
Hey, will Ed Murrow be coming? Tell me Ed Murrow will be here.
Well, no, Jack. He's pretty busy in London these days.
Oh, I was hoping to meet Ed Murrow.
I'll tell you who's coming. Cedric Adams will emcee the Quint's christening of the five victory ships. The broadcast will be carried coast to coast, even worldwide, by the Columbia Broadcasting System and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Newsreels from Movietone News, News of the Day, Universal News, and Hearst News will all be here. Elma Kitchell, who grew up in Superior and now does regular broadcasts for NBC in New York, will be here. So will Catherine Rock of WGN in Chicago and Philip Gordon of WJW. There'll be reporters from the Toronto Star, Chicago Herald Examiner, International News Service, and former Duluthian Lieutenant Abbott Washburn of the Navy Public Relations, the Milwaukee Journal, Chicago Tribune, Associated Press, United Press, King Features, Dave Dornberg of the St. Paul Pioneer Press and Dispatch, Nick Haler of the Minneapolis Star-Journal.
You should be anchoring this event.
Cedric Adams is a respected broadcaster from WCCO.
Yeah, but nobody knows him anywhere else. This is your turf, Lou, and you've got red hair.
I appreciate the support, Jack. We'll all be busy doing our own live broadcast for our listeners here. They're who's important.
Of course, if Ed Murrow were here, he'd get my vote for doing this broadcast. But only Murrow. Otherwise, no one else deserves it but you, Lou.
That's fine, Jack. I don't mind. It'll be a busy day for everyone.
Now on with the music, friends. Here's Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra with Bob Eberly and Helen O'Connell and Tangerine on the Martin and McKenna Show.
She is all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, when she dances by, Senorita stare and Caballero sigh. And I've seen toasts to Tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine.
Girl, she's only fooling tangerine.
For your enjoyment, the vocals of Bob Eberle and Helen O'Connell with the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra and Tangerine on station KUWS. Lewis, this rationing of food is getting pretty confusing.
Well, I've got some good news for you. The only canned goods not being rationed is sauerkraut.
What? Don't tease me about sauerkraut, Lou. It's not nice. Sauerkraut and me have a serious relationship.
I'm not kidding. Apparently there's a huge supply and, shockingly, not a great demand for this pickled cabbage treat.
I could truly say I hate sauerkraut. Just thinking about it gives me the willies.
Let me introduce our community editor.
And food critic.
Harriet Farrig. Your face is all scrunched up, Harriet.
Sauerkraut isn't bad. It's very misunderstood.
My face can't help it when I think of it.
You've got to have it with sausages and beer and crackers smeared with a good cheese like Limburger.
Is this why Jack keeps moving?
Well, you know, landlords have to protect their property. Jack's cooking has a way of getting into the floorboards and the carpeting.
It must be a nightmare to get out.
Go ahead. Make fun, you two. This food makes your taste buds go all aflutter.
Harriet, do you have some community news?
I'm enjoying Jack's taste buds going all aflutter. Say that again, Jack.
My taste buds are all aflutter.
Thank you, Jack and Lewis. Miss Patricia Clotier of the South Range Clotiers has been sworn into the waves. Her brother Eugene is stationed in Pearl Harbor. The Walter Butler Shipbuilding Orchestra presents a concert tonight at 8 o'clock in the St. Louis School Auditorium. Everyone is invited. The school children have been working hard, selling tickets to raise money for the Servicemen's Center. The first junior first aid course has been completed at Iron River High School. Miss Ethel Elliott taught the course. Children spend an hour a week for 18 weeks to pass. Miss Elliott says Charlotte Seaman and Peggy Costello are at the head of the class. And Reverend Jay Napolo of Ontario, Canada, will be the guest speaker at the Finnish Lutheran Church of Christ Lutheran on Belknap Avenue in Superior. The Reverend E. A. Hino of Ely will deliver the sermon tomorrow night at 8.
I'll bet those Finns like their sauerkraut.
If the food is pale-looking, Scandinavians generally eat it up.
All right, now I'm going. Here's one for you sauerkraut fans. This is Larry Clinton and his band with I Double Dare You to Eat Sauerkraut on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS. Larry Clinton, folks, and I double dare you. Proving that you can like sauerkraut and still be patriotic. Indeed, indeed. It's all the craze. The kids love it. I'm afraid you're not a hepcat if you don't.
Hepcat, eh?
Remember to stay tuned right here, good listeners. Coming up is Superman, Dr. IQ, the Lone Ranger, President Roosevelt's fireside chat, then Fulton Lewis with the news. But now, let's hear another fine number before we find out all we need to know about food rationing. Here's Perfidia with Glenn Miller, thank you, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Perfidia with Glenn Miller. Ha-ha, what a beautiful arrangement that is. Well, I'm looking forward to our guest clearing things up for us, Lou.
Let me introduce Miss Dorothy Loudon, and we'll try to understand this whole rationing thing.
Now, class, make sure your inkwells are full and sit up straight before I begin. Boys and girls, I mean men and women, will need to take notes to get this right.
Whoa.
That means you, Mr. McKenna.
Ms. Loudon is the home economics instructor at Vocational Institute. She's known for being firm.
Did she have to bring that yardstick?
I don't like that yardstick. I hope she's not known for yardstick mayhem.
Any more of that talking and you'll force me to use this stick.
Yes, Ms. Loudon.
Now then, registration begins this week. Take your consumer declaration and ration book number 1 to your local schoolhouse to get number 2 ration books. You cannot get your number 2 ration book without your number 1 ration book. No 2 without 1. Oh, stop fidgeting, you two.
Yes, Miss Loudon.
Clip from your newspaper the table of point values and take it with you when you go shopping. But don't try to buy canned goods this week. That's cheating. Shopkeepers are not allowed to sell any until next week. Is that clear?
Yes, Miss Loudon.
The number 2 ration book will control the buying of canned, dried, or frozen vegetables, fruits, juices, and soups. All blue stamps marked A, B, and C are good only for the first ration period of March. Those 12 stamps add up to 48 value points, and each member of the family is entitled to 1 book. Got that? I'm waiting for an answer.
The blue stamps have 12.
I need number
to make
1 to get number 2 with blue
ABCs.
Stamps. Adding
I,
up to
I only get one
48
one
points from 12.
Very good, boys, but you're muttering. This is important if you're going to eat during this war emergency. Vegetable point values are highest among frozen asparagus, lima beans, broccoli and corn at 16 points per package. Canned spinach, tomato products, including ketchup, beans and carrots are 14 points. The highest points are for dried prunes and raisins, 25 points for each package.
Miss Loudon?
You may put your hand down. Yes, Jack?
What is the lowest points for canned vegetables, Miss Loudon?
The only vegetable lower than 10 points is sauerkraut. 5 points for a can of sauerkraut. For some reason, there's plenty of it, but not much demand for it. Now, I expect each of you to hand in a report about rationing. And you?
Thank you, Miss Dorothy Loudon, home economics instructor at the Vocational Institute. You have a night class to get to?
I'm afraid so. It's run, run, run these days. I'm going to have to ration my own time at this pace. Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, Miss Loudon.
Oh, she's gone now, Jack. I guess it's sauerkraut for us after all.
Why do we always get such scary guests on our show, Lou? Other radio shows don't have scary guests with the yardsticks yet.
Well, I'll tell you what. She's not going to get a report from me.
Unless she comes back with that big stick. That's it, folks. Another adventure in Radio Wonderland. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, if the good Lord's willing, and Miss Loudon doesn't keep us after school. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna urging you to buy your fair share of war bonds, and good night.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.
A note about one of the servicemen that we mentioned during this episode. Second Lieutenant Michael Berkowitz was awarded an air medal from the British government. It wouldn't be his last.
The superior man would get a chest full of decorations, including the Distinguished Flying Cross. Michael Berkowitz would retire 22 years later in 1964 as a colonel. We thank the Douglas County Veterans Office for their help. Good night.